Today's episode is brought to you by Bululu Studios. Bululu Studios is a small event space located in Savannah, Georgia. It is the perfect location for MFA thesis shows. For more information, please visit bululustudios.com. That is BULULUstudios.com.
Welcome to The Strand. I'm Kevin, and in this episode, I'm continuing my mini-series that includes conversations recorded while installing my work at Art Fields in Lake City, South Carolina. This year, Art Fields will take place from April 26th through May 4th. For more information, you can visit the artfieldssc.org website. In this and upcoming episodes, I'm sharing a few conversations I had with Art Fields faculty members and also artists who are participating in the festival. Today, I'll be sharing a conversation with Tiffany Thomas, an artist who lives and works in Lake City, South Carolina. You can check out her work at tthomasarts.com. I'd also like to mention one other exhibition that I'll be participating in. It's called Celestial Seafarers, and it takes place at the Ships of Sea Maritime Museum in Savannah, Georgia. You can purchase tickets at shipsoftheseas.org. Lastly, please follow me on Instagram at kevinwillpaint. Thank you for spending some time with me, Tiffany. It's great, you know, that we could catch up and or meet each other and learn more about your work. So I appreciate your time. Thank you. What do you make?
I am a ceramic artist. Well, I don't really call myself a ceramic artist. I'm more of an artist that happens to be working in ceramics right now. Mm-hmm. But I also like to create random things. Like, I just like to kind of have my hands in all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
So it's just hard for me to kind of settle and say I am a ceramic artist when I do so many different things. But yeah.
Primarily
in pottery, yes.
Pottery.
Yeah.
What kind of clay do you like to use?
Oh, I love cone 6 frost clay.
Okay.
Yeah, I love porcelain clay.
What do you like about those?
It's buttery. It's like the tactile feel of it is just very like sensual and buttery. And I just love the way it feels when I'm working with it. It's very finicky. It cracks. And there are some aspects of it that's very annoying. But I do love working in porcelain a lot.
So we're in Lake City. Where are you from?
I'm from like 10, 15 minutes away from here. I'm from Effingham, South Carolina, really tiny, tiny. It's not even a town. It's more like a community. But I grew up in Effingham. I grew up on a farm with like chickens and dogs and cats and pigs and things like that.
Yeah.
And so
was it for like income? Was it like a working farm?
Yes.
Or like a family farm?
It was a family farm. Yeah. Yeah.
Did it have a name?
No, it didn't. We call it Thomas Compound, but it was just like my uncles. We all lived around each other, so I have like 5 uncles, and they all lived down the road from us. And I have to back it up even more. So my great great grandfather purchased land. Him and his brother got out of slavery, and they purchased land a couple of miles away from where they were. And they split it up between like the family members. And so that's why we're all there.
I see.
And that's why we grew up there. So I grew up with like just this very peaceful, wonderful childhood. We didn't really have a lot of money, but we had
family.
Yeah, we had family, and we had. It was just so fun. Like, we were outside all the time, and we would just do such crazy fun things. So.
Have you always been an artist? Were there things that when you were younger that you were more interested in other than art?
I love to write books. Like, when I was young, like maybe like kindergarten, I couldn't even like, when reading back on them, it doesn't make, like, you have to kind of put it together because I didn't spell very well. Mm-hmm. But like, I would write these like scenarios, and then at the bottom, I would draw pictures of people like acting out those scenarios.
Sweet.
So like, and I was an avid reader growing up too. So I don't know. It was a great childhood. We were just all together playing and just on the farm. My dad's a contractor, so he was just very, very
for construction, open. Right?
Yeah, for construction. And he also was a farmer, so he farmed the land, and we slaughtered the pigs and had and like kept them and froze the like meat, and it was just like a very like working farm situation.
Yeah. Right on. What type of books do you still read a lot, or what?
I do. I have a 3-year-old, so. Uh-huh. But like, I do love to read. I'm actually reading Joseph Campbell's The Power of Myth right now, mm-hmm. And I'm really engrossed in that, and it's actually kind of changing my life a bit. Yeah. and I also like classics, Pride and Prejudice and things like that. I do like to read articles, really, like the New Yorker and things like that too.
They always have good covers.
I know, don't they?
Yeah, the illustrations for the covers are always nice.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I don't know, I feel like I'm just very into just learning stories and just listening to people's stories. It's just fascinating to me how people live their lives. So
wow. Did you say when you moved to Lake City or not? I can't remember.
No. So I went through school. I went to a Christian school, high school, which was like, it was a racially, not very racially diverse at all. Huh. I was the only Black person in my graduating class. And there was only 35 people graduating. And so after that,
how big is Effingham?
Oh gosh. No.
Is Lake City a big city compared to Effingham?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Effingham is probably like maybe like less than like 200 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So you said that you went to high school, graduating class was like 35, mm-hmm. and then I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. So I went to that. Well, it was like a Christian school. And then after that, I decided to, like, I think it's interesting how people know what they want to do with their lives. And for me, I had no concept of, I would create. I like creating things. I like to get on the computer and create things. But I never really, like, thought of what I should do with my life. and so I just, like, kind of took some odd jobs at, like, ADP and things like that. And then I went to Tech for drafting because my dad's a contractor. Uh-huh. And then while I was at Tech.
Did you use AutoCAD or Revit?
AutoCAD. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. While I was there, I used AutoCAD, and I would draw in AutoCAD, like instead of like doing the projects, like I would just kind of draw. Mm-hmm. And the professor was like, you seem like you're more into art, like more so than. And so they were like, you should go to Francis Marion. And so I transferred to Francis Marion and got into graphic design, and I loved it. I thought graphic design was great.
I think I saw somewhere online that you got a new studio, or you're getting a studio.
Yeah, so I'm getting a studio here in Lake City. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. We've been here ever since 2018. I had a brick and mortar storefront in Florence, South Carolina for 2 years, and I started selling online around that time, and it didn't really make sense to have a storefront, and like all of my money was going towards rent when I could just, I was selling online, so it didn't really make sense. So I decided to transition to, we were going to buy a house, my husband and I, and we were asked if we wanted to come to Lake City just to see what's going on. And so we came over here and we decided to rent a house here, and just yeah, it was pretty magical, really. It's really cool. And so we've been here since 2018. I had a huge wholesale order that my husband and I were fulfilling with a company called GeoCentral. And it was like thousands and thousands of ring dishes that I was hand painting.
What's a ring dish?
It's a small dish, probably like 3.5 centimeters and not centimeters, inches in diameter.
Uh-huh.
And you could just put like little trinkets in it.
Oh, like is it made for rings, like hand rings?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are like a catch-all dish kind
of. Gotcha. Yeah. Keys or whatever.
Yeah. And so like we were selling them. I would make them and glaze them and fire them. And we would sell them to GeoCentral, and then GeoCentral would distribute them to like bookstores and museums and galleries and things like that. And so they're all over the world, and it's kind of cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting. It was very daunting, and I developed this weird thing where I felt like my little babies were leaving me without me loving them. I don't know. It was really strange. So
it was like making cookies. Or like a factory or something.
Yeah, it was like a factory, and it wasn't like I was loving them or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't have enough time to be with them. I know it sounds strange, but it was such a cool and interesting experience, and I'm glad that I had that experience. We fulfilled, I think it was two orders up until 2020. And so it was like a 3 or 4 year project. So, yeah.
That's great. That allowed you to, I guess, sustain yourself and move forward. But you probably learn more about your craft too. Just maybe if you weren't spending enough time with them, I'm sure there's things that you, even if it's working efficiently or something, I'm sure you picked up tricks and things. It wasn't a bad thing or like, like I say factory, and maybe that was the wrong choice of words, but it wasn't intended negatively.
No. It wasn't a negative thing at all. It was very eye-opening for me because it helped me to realize what I needed as an artist and as a person. And I know my capabilities now and what, I'm still learning about my needs, but I understand that like I need time to be with my pieces before they leave me. So, yeah.
Cool. And wait, what? So we'll talk a little bit more about your studio.
Oh, yeah. So it's on Alkaline Street. It's super exciting because it opens the door to be able to be around other creatives and see how they work and bounce ideas off of people. I've been reading a lot about third spaces and how third spaces are great for the community, because it's a place where people can gather without having to spend money. And it's a place where people can learn about each other and develop friendships and develop like, it's kind of like I've been thinking a lot about bridges and how we can bridge two different people that come from two different walks of life and show the commonalities between these people and how those commonalities can help to mend racial tension or all sorts of different issues. And so I feel like the studios are a way of opening the door to all sorts of different things. And it's really interesting because we don't know like how things will evolve. And that's exciting. I think it's very exciting.
What do you mean by third space? What does that mean?
From what I gathered, it's just basically a space where people can go and be able to hang out and just like talk to people. Like churches are usually a third space or
like a community center
or a park, mm-hmm. or like coffee shops can act as third spaces, but usually the requirement is to, you know, spend money or buy something. And so for me, I think third spaces are more not having like responsibilities of, of being able to like purchase something. So, and being able to be around people without having something, a way of like buying something or, you know, or a transaction or something like that.
Where can people find you on Instagram, or what, do you have a website?
TThomasArts.com. Yeah.
And then Instagram?
The same thing, TThomasArts.
Okay. So we've talked about where your beginnings were. We're up to date with, you know, what you're up to these days. Where do you want to be in 5 years, or what's the future look like for you?
Oh, wow. That's a complex question. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm very much into flowers right now, and I'm into seeing the way things are. Like, there's like this, it might sound woo-woo, but there's just like beautiful frequency within all of us. And I feel that like when I look at the growth of things like flowers and plants and people, and even watching my child grow, I feel like there's this beauty that we often overlook because we're so busy with life. And for me, I'm starting to see like the commonality in all that, in everything. And so I'm being more open to that. And so I don't know where I'll be. I don't know if I'll be still doing clay. There's all sorts of like exciting things that do pop up every once in a while. Like I have a residency at the Hambridge Center.
Nice.
In a couple of months.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a wood firing residency. And so I'm very excited about that. And it's a very open-ended residency. Like, I don't have to produce. They said I have to produce at least one piece for the wood firing, but it's not, there's not so much pressure. And so I'm excited about that. And I know that there's more opportunities that will happen, but I'm not really, I don't know. I feel like that's such a lame and open answer, but I'm just open to any possibilities, really.
Yeah. So when you're in the studio, what's the ambient noise? What's the soundscape?
It is random.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the Mars Volta today, and I listened to them a lot when I was younger. But I was into them today. And Deer Hunter is another one. Oh, and I love Radiohead. Radiohead fan up until, I don't know, that Pools. I think it's like, and the Smile. I'm not into the Smile. I don't know.
I'm with you. Not that I don't think that it's bad music. I honestly haven't given it a chance. And I think that it's just seen its day in my world, you know, like I'm off to other things.
Maybe what are you listening to? I want to know.
What am I listening to? It varies also. I like a band called Bomba Estéreo. They're from Colombia. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but music, that's my go-to. I like Lito Pimienta, who's another Colombian artist. For some reason, I'm into that. Yeah, something like that. That's where I'm at these days.
That's cool.
What are some of the opportunities that you found fruitful in your experience as an artist?
Let's see. Well, one of the most interesting opportunities that's happened is Blick Art Materials approached me.
Oh, cool.
In 2020 or 2019. And I became an ambassador for a while. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. So I did a couple of YouTube videos for them on throwing, and they sent me so many things. You know, I kind of wish I would have been a bit more selective of things I asked for. But
so in terms of you were throwing clay, you were making art objects with clay.
Yeah, I did like pottery wheel throwing videos for them, and they edit them and put them on their YouTube channel. We did a couple of Instagram posts, and then
How did you make that connection, or how did they find you?
Through Instagram, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a really random thing, but one of the coolest things was that they approached me and they said, "Well, the ceramic conference in Sika, it's the It's a huge ceramic conference that happens every year in North America. And so they were like, it'd be cool if you were to do a talk on the way you do watercolor on ceramic. And so I was like, I guess, okay. and I've been to the ceramic conference. I went with my professor when we were in college. And so I knew of the conference, but I never thought I would be a speaker or a presenter. And so they were able to write up a proposal, and I spoke at the ceramic conference in March of 2022. So that was a really cool opportunity. And there was like,
where's that at?
It moves every year. It was in Sacramento.
Oh, sweet.
In 2022. And we usually try to go every year, especially if it's on the East Coast. But it was neat because they flew us out there and they paid for the hotel room. And so it was like this whole experience that was really great. But I think for me, standing in front of people was kind of like jarring.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot about myself too, just from that opportunity. And I think it kind of helped me to like take a step back and just think about what I wanted out of life. And I'm just not the type of person that kind of likes all that attention. And so part of me was like, I kind of stepped back from social media for a while. And I don't know, it just feels very performative sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I do post, I just try not to think too much of it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am today. But those opportunities did help me to see exactly like where I want to be and how I want to present myself to the world. And
what are some of those ways?
Being as authentic as possible is helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it does come across as, some days I post that I'm not having a good day, or whenever I'm making my pottery feels extremely vulnerable. And so it comes across as kind of, it's hard, but it almost feels necessary to just not make things, because when you look at my work, you might think, oh, that's pretty, but there is like a lot of depth to it that sometimes I write poetry on my work, and sometimes like even with the crystals, like I put globs of clay on the piece and it's supposed to represent these like negative emotions and feelings and racism and all sorts of different things. And then carving it back is taking back that power and turning it into something beautiful. And so I like to do that and then add beautiful colors and glazes and luster to just kind of create something, I guess, turn things that are seemingly negative and that are negative into something that's beautiful. And so I think that's kind of that's why I create, to cope
mm-hmm.
with life. So yeah.
Do you ever talk about like mental health and things like that as it pertains to your art making? Is there considerations of mental health and the challenges associated to it, or like the good and bad?
I do. I don't think I address it as mental health, but it is mental health. I think I address it more so as going through life and just kind of living with what you have, maybe. Be it if you're just having a bad day or a bad time or whatever. I don't think I've ever addressed it as mental health, but that's interesting.
So let's talk about art fields.
Okay.
We can't omit that, but what does art fields mean to you, and how has it impacted your life?
Art fields is something that we've been to every year. We've been to Art Fields since the beginning because it was just so close to us. It has opened my mind to amazing things. I keep looking at your sculpture, like your art, because it's just so magnificent. And
thank you.
It just makes you think about the like that's coming out of you, you know, like that's coming out of you. And it's just a very intimate way of knowing people because you look at their work and sometimes you don't even know who they are. And so you're seeing like a part of someone that's very like internal, that's very vulnerable. And I think that's great. And I think that's why I love Art Fields the most, because Art Fields exposes people to things that they would not be exposed to, like especially living in the South in a teeny tiny town. Like a lot of people just would not have this exposure to art the way Art Fields allows for you to have, to be able to experience it. And earlier when we were talking about third spaces, it's a third space. Like, look how I'm talking to you. I just came in here and like on your podcast, and it's like, I would have never been able to like do that any other way. Like, unless I, you know, somehow we ran into each other in Savannah or something, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
So I think Art Fields just opens up these beautiful opportunities to meet people. I think that's just the beauty of life, really, meeting people and being able to take a peek into their lives and to their journey. And so I think that's great.
Well, I think that's a good spot to stop if that's
okay.
Good.
No, that's great.
Thank you for spending some time with me, Tiffany. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's great to learn about you.